Just before the final blessing, we'll hear from seminarian Joseph Schoen, who's just joined us, and he'll be with us this summer. He'll speak and share with you a little about his own vocation story. But just a word about this gospel and these readings and the parable that Jesus presents to us. It's a parable which, especially people in this part of the country, it resonates well with, in that there's few people around here who are completely disconnected from the land, from the soil. And so there's something that we understand about what he's getting at here. And even if you don't, Jesus explains it pretty fully afterward as well. But it's one thing to look at a parable from afar and say, okay, I can see what he's talking about. And it's a whole different thing to enter in deeply to that parable. Jesus describes the different sort of soils upon which the seed is scattered. Which one am I? Which soil am I in receiving the Word of God, who is Jesus himself? There is a very real way in which at different times and in different ways, I am all the different soils at different times. In what different ways am I? And everyone, what has Jesus done about that? And what is he doing about that? With this parable, as with all of the parables that Jesus presents, it is above all else revealing something about Jesus himself. It's revealing something about him, and through that, then, it reveals something deeply about us as well. What it reveals in this parable about Jesus is that the Lord, he is lavish and even wasteful and magnanimous in the way that he takes the seed and he spreads it upon all the different soils. You know, if you have seed and you're what would be called a good farmer, a strategic farmer, you want to make sure you're only going to plant it in the places that you know it's going to grow and you know it's going to yield a great harvest. The Lord Jesus reveals something about himself much differently. Most of the soil he describes is not receptive to receiving the word, the seed. Yet upon all of it, he scatters his seed. He is lavish. He is magnanimous and even wasteful, one might say in this way. But he does this because his great desire, the desire of Jesus Christ, is that his word, he himself, might take root in your heart. He's speaking about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and again he comes back to where the central point of that is, that it comes back to the human heart, and this is where the kingdom of heaven is revealed first within us so that it may take root in the entirety of our lives. But it's the human heart that he desires his word to take root and that it might bear fruit from there. And so the word is given to all, but not all will receive it because of the soil, the state of their heart. And he describes the different ways in which that seed is not able to take root. The soil, which is our heart. Hearts that are hardened. Hearts that are shallow. And hearts that are choked by thorns. The hearts that are hardened, the path that has been beat down. It's a heart which hears the word but doesn't understand it. Not because of a lack of intelligence, but usually because of a lack of humility. It's not able to receive the word. It's like, yeah, I've heard that before. This doesn't have anything to do with me, really. It's a lack of humility that hardens the heart in its pride. Or the hurts that a heart has endured that harden it, like the path and the dirt that has been beat down. There is also the heart that is shallow. It's a heart in which the roots are not able to take deep hold. There's that initial burst of joy at receiving the word, but then it quickly is burned out. And Jesus points to the reason why. Because it's seeking the love and approval of others in this world. Why? Because when persecution comes, when others turn against you, that joy that was there fizzles out quickly. It's hearts that are superficial and not deep as the Lord has created them to be. Not deep where they're able to receive what Jesus wants to give to you. Or hearts that are choked by the things of this life and this world, choked by the anxieties and by the pursuit of riches, that those are the things that dominate our heart and they choke our heart to death. And what has Jesus done, though? Because he reveals these three things of our heart. And what his desire is, what he wants desperately for you, is to have a heart that is rich soil. And what has he done? And what does he intend to do out of his immense love for you and for me? He has allowed something. He has not caused it, but he allows something to happen. He allows your heart to be plowed, for that hardened dirt to be broken up. And you understand what that means, which is beautiful, because if I was in a great big city, I'd have to explain what plowing is. But you've got it. He allows your heart to be plowed. He allows your heart to be cleared out from the rocks that keep the dirt shallow. For those to be cleared out of there, and those of you who have picked rock out in the field on a day as hot as this, you know what that means. And he allows the thorns that choke our heart to be burned away, to be purged. In other words, what Jesus, out of the immensity of his love for you, allows, he doesn't cause, but he allows, is he allows suffering. So that your heart might become fertile soil. He allows, in other words, the cross, so that new life might come from it. St. Paul says that the sufferings, your sufferings of this present time, they are nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. This parable is about Jesus above all else. And it's through that that we see how it is about us. What is most precious to the Lord is your heart. And what he desires to do, and will even allow suffering for the sake of, is that your heart might become one that is not hardened, but is flesh. To have a heart that is not shallow, but one which, like his, is pierced deeply. To have a heart that is not choked by thorns, but instead is crowned by thorns. To have a heart, in other words, which is transformed to be like his own. A heart that is able to receive much from the Father. And in doing that, is able to give much as well. To those who much has been given, more will be given. Why? Because it's the pathway, it's the flow of grace. They have received much from the Father, and that flows out from them as well. Because it's a heart that is alive, it's flesh, it's been pierced, and it's crowned with thorns. It's a heart that's been transformed to be like that of Jesus Christ. And that is a heart that is fertile soil and it's able to bear great fruit. But this requires that you have eyes to see. Everyone endures suffering. Every human person does, in different ways, great and small. But not everyone endures suffering in the same way. You either suffer with God or without God. And to suffer with God is to be more closely united to Him. First of all, at the place of the heart, because it is there that His Word, that Jesus Christ Himself, can take root and grow deeply and bear much fruit.